As more and more cities across the U.S. get access to gigabit internet speeds, more are asking the question, what can we do with it? And a lot of these cities turn to Kansas City for help finding the answer. This week, hundreds of civic leaders, techies, and innovators from across the country are in Kansas City for the second annual Gigabit City Summit, where they'll learn how they can use super-fast internet to improve their cities. We're about to hear from a bunch of people who have been here this week sharing their expertise, so hang on to your seat, folks. A lot's going to happen here. We'll start with the idea of open data, or this idea that some data should be freely available for everyone to use and what that means for a city. Joining me now, Brett Goldstein was the Chief Data and Information Officer for the City of Chicago. Now he's a Senior Fellow in Urban Science at the University of Chicago Harris School of Public Policy. He joins us from WBEZ Studios in Chicago. And Brett, nice to have you.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Eric Roach is with me here in the studio. He's the Chief Data Officer and Performance Management Analyst for the City of Kansas City, Missouri. Eric, good morning to you.
Good morning, Steve. Good to be here.
You know, Brett, we're living in a time when gigabit fiber and smart city sensors provide a lot more data for a city than ever before. Can you put into perspective for me just how much and what kind of information we're talking about here?
Yeah, we're talking about enormous data. So 10 years ago, we lived in a world where everything was paper, you had file cabinets, things were hard to get. At this point, we have systems all over the place that has data from business licenses to crimes to permits, you name it. The key is we have all this data, it's moving over these wonderful architectures, but how do we actually turn this data into information and make it useful to our cities?
I was going to say, where do we even begin to make sense of all this stuff, much less turn it into something that we can take action on? Where do we go from here?
Yeah, well, we start with basic steps, and we're seeing cities at different points in the life cycle. So Chicago in 2011, we started to go down this path of open data, and at this point, we have a really advanced program. What I suggest to new cities in the space is do basic things. Release data sets that people care about. Let it get out to the public. Let hackathons happen. Have small impact, and then you start to move to more sophisticated programs.
Eric, what's your perspective on this? How can data like this wind up translating into better public policy decisions?
So I think that's really at the heart of open data. We're really interested in putting data out there that people can use either in Excel or building maps off of or building apps off of it even. And how can they look at our data, the same data that we use in City Hall, and advocate for programs that they care about? And so that we're all on the same page, though, because we're all looking at the same data set. So it removes policy a little bit from the I feel and into the more, okay, we understand that this is the issue. This neighborhood has more trees that need to be trimmed than this neighborhood. So maybe that's how we need to allocate resources.
So this is true democracy, Eric, sort of at work here. You're relying on the general public to sort of weigh in here and show you things that maybe you guys haven't thought about.
Absolutely. So our favorite data set is the 3-in-1 data set.
And a 3-in-1?
A 3-1-1 data set.
3-1-1.
So when people pick up the phone in KCMO, they call 3-1-1, they get a number or they get someone at the city who answers and kind of asks them, hey, how can I help you today? And we handle all issues from I had like a tree trimmed in my yard to there's a street lamp out or there's a pothole in front of my driveway.
And then, there's some weird animal walking across my front lawn.
Yeah, you have a wallaby in your yard or something like that. So it's about...
I would know what a wallaby is, just for the record. I'd be a little lost at that point, I think.
We'll get animal control on in here sometime.
Yeah.
So all those calls come in, and we log them. And then all that data goes up into open data, and all it says is, you know, there was this issue kind of in this area of the city. And we then look at that to really see how neighborhoods are changing over time.
I'm wondering, you know, Brett, why is it so important for this data to stay open? Why be transparent with all this information?
So what I found is transparency is important, and it's good for an administration to be public about what they have, but there are things that are beyond transparency. Something I've learned, I grew up in the startup world, and we're seeing folks at Google, Facebook, LinkedIn using data to do really amazing things. What I would argue is, let's use our data to do amazing things. By making it open, we're able to engage folks to look at problems in a new way. And also, government has a history of we think within our departments, when in fact the problems we have are interdisciplinary. Put it out there, bring it together, apply real data science, and we're able to do things that we never thought we could do before.
Eric, how, you know, well, maybe Brett, how often do you have people in Chicago who come to you and say, hey, you know, I've been crunching these numbers and I came up with this. Have you thought about it? How often does that happen?
So it actually happens more often than you might think.
Huh.
When I started as a chief data officer, I started going out to hack nights and meetup nights, and people were shocked. They're like, here's a guy who works in City Hall, and he's going out to coding events, and he knows how to code himself. That encouraged people to look at data, and we found that by people taking this massive amount of data and looking at it with fresh eyes, they would see problems in new ways. And instead of it being an us versus them, it was a we're working together, we're going to use our smart engineering and smart mathematics to really change our city in a better way.
Brett, can you give me an example of that, of something that came down the pike that someone came up with that you hadn't expected?
Well, a project that we've been really excited about at the University of Chicago has been looking at the relationship between weather and crime. And this is one of those projects where it involves big data, high-performance computing, all of these pieces. And if you talk to traditional public safety, they'd say when it's hot, there's more crime out there.
Right.
But we found it was more nuanced than that, that certain blocks and tracks would happen in a certain way, would have violence in a certain way based on the environmental conditions, and that changes in temperatures were very meaningful. And this was a wonderful example of taking data like crime, which historically hadn't been open in bulk, weather data, which is enormous and open through NOAA, and then looking at it in a new way and starting to think about tools that can make our community safer.
And that helped your police department, you're saying?
So when we take data science and these advanced principles out of what would traditionally be the Silicon Valley or academia, and we make them available to municipalities, this is how we do business smarter. There's no reason we shouldn't have the same standards we have in the private sector or in Silicon Valley to have a smart business. We should, in fact, have a true smart city that is driven by advanced data analytics.
Eric, how about you in Kansas City here? Have you come across folks who've called you up and said, hey, you can't believe what I just came across crunching some numbers here?
Yeah, certainly. So I totally agree with everything our colleague in Chicago just said. We've been working exclusively with the Code for America Brigade in showing up weekly, and I think it's a really great way. It changes that interaction between city and government. And I actually went there and I said, we have this new data set up on open data. It's got all of our property violations in it since 2008. It was about 440,000.
Property violations, things like what?
So, you know, people's weeds have grown too long, the chipping paint. And so I asked them, hey, you know, right now we don't have the amount of people or the expertise to look at this, but the people in this room do. Can you help us? And so we started a project, and we've met every week for about 3 or 4 months now, where we dig into that data and we see what can we find. And now we're pulling in census data, and we're trying to relate our code violations to what we can see in census data and help us understand what type of neighborhoods face what type of code violations, and starting to looking at it at a more minute level. So, you know, how does weather affect weed growth, and what can we expect from that? And it's really just kind of this opportunity to learn together.
Does that begin to impact how the city dispatches its crews around the city to deal with weeds, for example, or paint chips?
You know,
paint chipping off houses?
Yeah, I'm happy to say we are a data-driven city. So when we get new data and we feel that we can trust it and we move on it, we do change how we allocate resources. So there was a discussion about a couple of years back where we needed to cut some money from the budget. And, you know, the question is always, what do you cut? And we were able to say, whatever you do, don't cut tree trimming services. We've heard from citizens on our citizen survey that that's extremely important. And we see in the data that there's more and more requests for tree services coming in through 3-on-1. So don't cut that. And we didn't.
So, Eric, you're saying that these people, these computer whizzes, they'll just do this for kicks, for fun. They're volunteering time on behalf of the city, in a sense.
I think there's a lot of people who want to connect to their city. And that ability to give back utilizing their skill sets, because these are, you know, really smart people. They have great tech skills. They have great organizational skills. And you used to be able to give back to your country by joining the military, which is amazing. Or you could give back by, you know, picking up trash on the side of the road. But this is a great way for everyone to kind of leverage their own skill sets and have the maximum effect on their community.
And Brett, you're seeing the same thing in Chicago. People want to help out in this new and different way?
So in Chicago, we have quite a large software engineering community, and they're very excited to work on these problems. But something that we're seeing as cities evolve to be these data-driven entities is a merge between policy and data science. And I think as we look at the folks who work in government in the future, we're going to see a blending of these skills. The old days of making policy in a more qualitative way have ended, because now you have these decision support mechanisms, which can be true, empirical, and really, I would call it hyper-focused. We don't create policies for cities as a whole, but we start thinking about small neighborhoods and what is the right treatment, what is the right solution, so we can really work on getting it right from the beginning.
That's interesting. You know, Eric, what kind of challenges has Kansas City faced? You know, first, I'm thinking in organizing all this data that it now has access to, and second, in actually making it something that's useful.
So I think the first thing is really we have a ton of data, and we're always discovering like, oh, cool, this one person who's been here 30 years has kept a spreadsheet on, you know, population by neighborhood for 30 years or something. This is amazing. How do we put it out there? So for us, it's always kind of a constant discovery process. And then the second step
is it hard to go from finding that on a paper document to putting it on the internet?
Yeah, especially when they're in paper documents.
Yes.
That requires a tremendous amount of time. We usually get lucky and they're already in some sort of electronic system.
Right.
And the second thing we're really focused on, though, is it's not just enough to put it out there on open data so people can download it. You have to show how we're using it, right? And give demos of how it can be used and tell the data's story as you see it. And then people can begin to engage because they've seen how other people have used it. And they said, well, I can use it to do something similar, but for my own purpose.
Hmm. And again, you're not having trouble finding people out there who are willing to help out.
No, the community is full of them. Kansas City is so involved with this.
Yeah. Brett, how does privacy factor into all this? I mean, I can imagine there are people out there listening to this right now and they're thinking, I'm all for more informed policy, but this sounds a little bit like Big Brother hanging around.
Yeah. So privacy is key to this, and I'll tie back to we were talking about transparency. It is critical that you tell your constituents and your residents what you are doing, and that's one of the beauties of open data. But at the same time, we need to couple being smart with not being afraid. As we release more and more data, we do need to think about things like re-identification of parties and things like that. But there is a body of computer science knowledge that work there. But it should be an ongoing dialogue. We should talk to the community, and you're seeing people like my time when I was chief data officer, and you're seeing Eric now, where it's an ongoing dialogue, active via Twitter, meetups, and talk about what you're doing, talk about people's fears, but don't let fear stymie us making our city smarter.
You know, Eric, in Kansas City, where is this open data? Where do people find it?
So they can go to data.kcmo.org, and it's all up there, and just start searching for what you're interested in.
Say that one more time.
So it's at data.kcmo.org.
Okay, and we'll put that on our website later on today. Eric, as KC deploys more smart sensors, and tell us what that is, what specific info are you looking to collect?
So a smart sensor would be something like we have video sensors that they run video, but really what's happening is it's running a software program over it, and it's telling us, is this parking spot, is there a car there or is there not? Or is
you
there,
can tell that now.
And just in the little downtown area, but you can see immediately how exciting it is that we can have that information. And also, crucially, we can tell if there's a car that's over the line on the streetcar. And that way we can get out there and get the situation resolved, you know, because we're learning about it much
quicker.
You
can tell that from your office in City Hall. If some car is parked improperly, it's going to mess up the streetcar system?
Our Public Works Department can, yes.
That's just amazing. Okay. Well, that's all this is so interesting. I want to thank Brett Goldstein, Chief Data and Information Officer for the City of Chicago, Eric Roach, Chief Data Officer and Performance Management Analyst for the City of Kansas City, Missouri. Gentlemen, thanks very much. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.